This meeting is now being recorded.
Good day, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to SSR2 Review Team Plenary Call Number 47 on 11th of October 2018 at 1400 UTC. Attending the call today is Ram, Kaveh, Russ, Norm, Scott, Denise, Eric, Lauren, and Kiri-Anne. Naveed just joined. We have no observers at this time. From ICANN organization, Jennifer, Nagar, and Brenda, we have apologies from KC, Alan, and Steve. Today's conference is being recorded. May I please remind you to state your name before speaking? Russ, I'll turn the call over to you. Thank you.
Hi, so I know we lost a couple people today because of the root key role. Hopefully we can make progress anyway. I am worried that the first thing we wanted to talk about we cannot do without Alon. He sent some mail about the way we're approaching SSR1, and I at least couldn't understand what he was trying to get us to do differently. But he's not here. Does anyone on the call feel like they knew what Alon wanted that we're not doing? Okay, only hearing silence. I think we're going to have to skip that agenda item and try and understand that when we get together next time. So moving forward then, let's see if we can make some progress on some of the SSR1 recommendations. When I was reviewing the notes and then talking to the vice chairs about last call, we thought it would be useful to add to the recommendation number 8 discussion something that was seemed to be part of the tone but not actually written down, which is ICANN has produced a list of organizational relationships, and this team has found no complaints related to that, but the lack of complaints is not sufficient evidence that all of those relationships are working well. Does that make sense to everyone? Okay, so we'll do that, and then let's move on to recommendation 10. Denise and the Doodle, you had taken the lead on that one. Would you lead us through that one?
Sure, and again, I'm not on Adobe yet because I'm in transit, and if I get connected, I'll call right back in. So if others aren't on Adobe yet, I'll just quickly read what number 10 is. It includes contract compliance and enforcement. Recommendation 10 says that ICANN should continue its efforts to step up contract compliance enforcement and provide adequate resources for this function. ICANN also should develop and implement a more structured process for monitoring compliance issues and investigation. The ICANN staff report for this recommendation gives the following as evidence that this recommendation has been implemented. Reporting of compliance activity, launch of a complaint tool, a pulse survey, launch of food and accuracy quality check, creating complaints.
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
Complaint submission process and FAQs, compliance auditing and outreach, and a new position. New positions to on the compliance staff. So, using all this material, there is no doubt that our more professional. There's a number of different types of data points that are now in the public realm. However, the accuracy and utility of these reports is quite spotty. For example, several dashboard reports show numbers of particular types of complaints, and then show a greater number of those types of complaints were closed without review. So I think it would be useful for SSR 1 to take a closer look at the quality of the reporting. The majority of the issues, though, in the staff SSR 1 implementation report highlight matters that relate to who is accuracy reporting has been underway since about 2012, and the complaint submission process has been, as they indicated, broken into three parts, who is an accuracy complaint form and who is service complaint form. The new registry agreement contains that they also cite specific obligations on contracted parties relating to security and stability specifically, including unauthorized disclosure, alteration, insertion or destruction of registry data, lack of compliance with RFCs, and the registrar agreement, the RIA 2013 contains fairly vague enforcement rights for ICANN in relation to registrars whose operation endangers registrar services, registry services, or the DNS or the Internet, quite broad. Compliance enforcement reports for 2017 and 2016 contain little evidence of SSR enforcement actions related to any of these sections. Data escrow that formed the basis of one breach notice that they documented in 2017 and 27% of complaints during 2016, but otherwise there's little information relating to SSR issues in the compliance reports that are publicly available. I think one of the factors that is mentioned in SSR 1 report is ICANN's goal to reduce the incidence and impact of registration abuse and malicious conduct. Based on other reports available, including reports coming out of the OCTO staff, it's unclear at all to what extent this goal carries through into compliance actions and other initiatives aimed at reducing such conduct by registries or registrars. I think it would be useful to have ICANN provide a clear summary of the number of complaints and enforcement actions against registries and registrars taken by contractual compliance on the basis of SSR 1 obligations in the past 5 years, and to what extent ICANN measures the incidence and impact of registration abuse or malicious conduct by contracted parties. So, in sum, and I'll share this information on the email list. I think ICANN has certainly made progress on this. I think we need to ask a couple of follow-up questions so we can get a little bit more clarity on the information before including our assessment. But assessment is that it continues to be relevant and much clearer activities and metrics are needed in this space to be effective in going forward. I'll stop there and ask any questions people may have. Is anyone there?
Russ, this is Brenda. Your line is muted.
Thank you. I don't know how that happened, because I used my handset mute. At any rate, let me start over. Denise, I'm trying to understand how much of this is because the SSR language was hard to measure and how much of it is because of sensitivities around the contractual aspects, and what kind of a recommendation would be more measurable and steer clear of those sensitivities?
Yeah, great questions, Russ. I think, as we've discussed in the past, most of the recommendations from SSR 1 could have been written in a clear way. Given the number of ICANN or responsibilities in this area, however, I think there was a fairly clear path for staff to create clear implementation plans and metrics attached to those and report on that. So I think there's certainly additional things that should have been done, but I think we should, again, ask a couple more questions before we kind of make that final assessment. I'm not quite sure what you mean by sensitivities, and perhaps you could clarify that. I'm happy to address that.
There's always aspects of these contracts which the registrars don't necessarily want to talk about in a public way, and I don't think they affect the SSR part of things, but it's often used as a shield, is my understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, I think if we feel like there's confidential information that we should seek to further assess ICANN's work, I guess we have the ability to do that. So I was, looking at the clear contractual obligations and the intersection of SSR for that aspect of this recommendation, and just looking at the information that's publicly available. But if you feel like we
I don't mean to cut you off. What I meant was we need to make sure that the recommendation is written in a way that says using publicly available data or something, so that someone doesn't use that shield. That's all I was recommending.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yeah, that's a really good point. I agree with that.
I'm not seeing any hands, but Denise, do you have a feeling for what the yet-to-be-asked questions would look like?
Yeah, I have a couple, I think. And I'll put all this on a list so those who aren't on the call can view it and others can take a look at it and add to it as they see fit. But I think a clear summary of the number of complaints and enforcement actions against registries and registrars taken by a compliance team on the basis of SSR obligations in the past 5 years, is a pretty basic metric that I think we should make one more attempt to get before we close this off. And then making sure we understand the extent to which ICANN is measuring the incidence and impact of registration abuse and solicitation and solicitation conduct by contracted parties. I think those are two key sort of data points and questions that that we should follow up with on this. So right now I have this listed as implemented, in my view, implemented in part. I think at this point, given the information that is in the public sphere, I would say the implementation did not wholly have the intended effect, and that the recommendation is even more relevant today. And I'll be following up with some suggestions about further work for the consideration of the review team.
So does anyone disagree with the way forward that Denise is suggesting, and does anyone have any suggestions for improvements to the questions she's suggesting?
Ross, this is Carrie. I have my hands up.
I don't see any hands on the display. So, okay, but please go ahead, Carrie-Anne.
Yeah, I think I have to work with Steve with my app on my phone. I don't know what happens with it. Denise, just for your consideration, is it two questions. Is it a matter that the contract terms that were negotiated with registrars, we as a team could recommend that in terms of the SSR considerations, is it that it was not sufficiently considered going forward? As I said, the review, SSR 1 review would have been before, I think, those renegotiated terms. So I'm just checking to see if we wanted to make a suggestion that in future when the terms are reopened again and for negotiation, that it should have stronger SSR consideration. And the second question I have is, in terms of the audit that they say that is conducted with the contracts, do we believe, based on probably your assessment, that the audits are done at a very rigorous level, or is it at a very minimal kind of bare minimum requirements that they actually check for? And is it only activated when there's a complaint only? Or is it that we could say that there are certain key things that should be checked on a more regular basis in or outside of the audit period, more randomly? Because I think the intent probably for the SSR recommendation was to ensure that registrars were kind of not the first line of defense for abuse, but at least has some amount of oversight because of their direct role with the persons who are registering the domain name. So I'm just checking to see how can we strengthen that recommendation from the SSR 1 instead of probably ruling it out as either yes, complied with, but additional information, but more specifically to the intent or what could actually make things better going forward. I hope I made sense. If not, I can try and repeat.
No, that makes perfect sense. Thank you for that. I think those are important contributions. The review team can certainly provide guidance and recommendations around SSR and compliance action and language when the registrar contract is updated and when the HETLD base agreement and individual registry agreements are updated. So it's definitely something the review team can look at that feels that action is warranted. And then I think compliance does regular audits. And I think it's a good idea to take a closer look at the elements that they audit on and then the action that they take. And it's up to the discretion of ICANN compliance, who they audit each time and the process that they use for that audit. But I think that's a good suggestion, and I'll make a note to take a closer look at the details of the audit and come back with some additional information for the group relating to recommendation 10.
And I can add just one example for the consideration of the team in that regard. As a member of the PSWG, one of the issues that some of the law enforcement officers had is, giving an example at the pharmaceutical frauds that happen. A lot of them would probably register, for example, with .ca, and the website that they have, when you actually check it, it's actually not what they registered originally, and they sell products that are illegal on the website. And in terms of when we ask the contract compliance, how are they able to help monitor those sites and to see if the registrar could actually either deregister the person or take further actions. A lot of it was not possible based on the contract. And it's just to kind of consider how can we just bolster the ability of the registrars themselves if they want that responsibility, which I think sometimes you do talk to them, that's not a responsibility that they want, but just to see how we can help ICANN compliance units at least be able to take some public safety considerations into account and SSR consideration if possible.
Yes.
Without trying to step
Brianna?
Outside of our own remit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another great observation. ICANN compliance has a very, I think, many in business, cybersecurity, rest of world, but it has a very unique and narrow interpretation of the contracts as they stand. And they've been asked, I know, in various forums to articulate what tools they don't have or what authority they don't have that they would like to have in the contract to do their job more effectively. But I haven't seen answers in the public on that either. So that's also an area I think worth considering for this. Thank you.
Okay, I see a hand from Norm.
On the contractual compliance, I guess that kind of covers a number of areas. Just clarity, we're only talking about gTLDs here, because Carrie Ann, you mentioned .ca, which is a ccTLD, and I just want to clarify, are we looking at both, like all domains, or just gTLD? I believe it's just gTLD, that was my understanding.
Yeah, that's a great question, Norm. Of course, ICANN compliance does not have standing
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
ICANN org doesn't have contracts with CCTLD, and so the ICANN compliance work really relates strictly to the gTLD space. However, country code top-level domains are part of the ICANN, ecosystem, and if the review team felt that some guidance or recommendation was warranted in the CC space, I think that's something that the first thing I think is something that the review team should discuss, but that would be separate from ICANN compliance.
I would say that if we're going to say something in that space, we make them two different recommendations so that we give the board a clear way to make statements about one without it bleeding over to the other.
Yeah, and just on that, there's many CCTLDs have signed letters of, I forget the phrase, but there are letters that they signed with ICANN saying they act in a certain way. So it's not a contract, but it's is a commitment. But I don't know if there's any enforcement there.
Yeah, this is Denise. You're right, Norm. Some are memorandums of understanding, and I think there's one other another word used as well. It's not very many CCTLDs that have those types of agreements, and they are not considered enforceable. I think for the most part, it's been a long time since I looked at those. But yeah, something else to look at.
Okay, I'm not seeing any hands. I know that some of you can't raise hands if you have anything now. Please speak up. Okay. Thank you, Denise. Let's see if we can move on to number 14. Lauren, were you the one who took this one? I can't remember. I have to go find the doodle.
Russ, it's Jennifer. Recommendation 14 doesn't have any sign-ups on the doodle poll.
Okay. What's the next one on our list that does?
15, Rom has volunteered for that one.
Okay. Let's jump to 15 then. Rom, can you lead us through that? Rom is typing. Rom can only listen. Brenda, are you able to help or not?
Well, my first question is if that is Rom's location that he can only listen, or would he like me to dial out to him? Same with Lauren. I'm happy to dial out.
Okay, so Rom can only listen from where he is. Is that?
That's my understanding.
Okay. Well, he can't lead a discussion that way. Jennifer, what's after 15? Have any of the other three been claimed?
No, the other three have not yet received any volunteers.
Russ?
Yes?
This is Carrie. Let me know if I could just make a point about 14 and 16.
Sure, go ahead with 14.
One of the things I had wanted the team to consider, I had sent it in an email, I think, to staff, is recommendation 14 and 16 seems to be among the list of those that would be kind of hard to establish or assess the effectiveness, because it speaks about outreach activities, and the information that we've received so far regarding them are more ICANN documenting various engagement that they would have had since then until present. What is sufficient, the recommendation doesn't elaborate, it just says that it should be continuous and remain relevant and timely.
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
Similarly for 16, it's an outreach effort in terms of whether or not ICANN has the ability to receive input regarding the SSR framework process. So I think it's two that I think we should be able to probably just discuss in terms of whether or not we can't, to me, I don't think we can assess the sufficiency of it, but in as much as to probably encourage the continuation of it. So I don't know if it's something that needs to be on the doodle list or not. So just up for discussion whether or not we need to have like a plenary discussion on 14 and 16, or just a quick assessment as to whether or not we just give a general recommendation that these activities be continued and reported on the ICANN website. Just a suggestion.
So, Carrie Ann, I agree with your view of what is going to be said, but I was hoping we would have a review team member to carry the pen for each of these. Maybe you'd like to pick one of those two.
I had already volunteered, but
yeah, I know you did.
That's why I listened before. But as I said, I had made that assessment and kind of sent a note ahead of time just when I had selected the ones I did, that these two may be two that we could put under the, remember, I think last time Osnorm had suggested that we could have like that bucket that set aside, that when we do give a general comment, it would be a general comment about that batch that is difficult to assess, but we believe that some effort has been made and it's something that should continue. But it's just a suggestion, and maybe, yeah. And I said, we could probably just discuss it together now just to see how we word this part, since we have no one volunteered and Ram is not able to speak yet.
Yep. So does anyone disagree with the direction Carrie Ann is suggesting for 14 and 16? I'm not seeing any hands, and I'm not seeing anyone trying to speak. So we'll put these in the hard to assess, but actions were taken direction. Lauren's still trying to figure out how to connect. Okay, I believe done everything we can do on the recommendations that were on today's agenda. Please sign up so that we can complete all of the recommendations that we have answers to, and so that we can move forward. It was suggested that the next call we have scheduled is for the 18th of October, but that a bunch of people will be traveling to Barcelona. I think the 19th is the latest most people will be leaving in order to get to Barcelona for our face-to-face meeting on the Sunday. So it was suggested that we will have really poor attendance, and so we should just cancel the call on the 18th. I think we're going to do that, unless there's someone who says, oh, no, I've got something I really need to share that day. Okay, then we will we'll do that. Cancel for the 18th. Go ahead, Denise.
I agree with that. I think I would suggest, however, that that we commit to continuing our work on the email list. So I think in particular, it would be great if we could come to closure generally on a draft work plan that I hope to get on the list today. And of course, progress on the SSR1 recommendation. If we could have people who are holding the pen on SSR1 recommendations, make sure that they put their initial draft in the Google Doc before we hit the ground in Barcelona, I think that will really help help us get a lot of work done at our face-to-face meeting. Thanks.
Yes, I completely agree. I hope we can at least get through all of the SSR1 recommendations at the face-to-face. Staff is working hard to make sure that all of the questions are answered before we meet. So hopefully we can get that part done and then get started on either the ICANN SSR or the DNS SSR. Okay. Jennifer, do you want to go over the, we have the any other business. Is there any other business someone wants to raise?
I just have one more.
Go ahead.
For those of us who will try to participate in the meetings remotely, I don't know if staff could just confirm which meetings will be accessible for more participation and which ones maybe some of the community engagements that may not be accessible. If we could just have an email just clarifying with the relevant links, so at least I could schedule appropriately, because you guys would be, I think, 6 hours ahead of me. So I just want to see which ones I'll be able to participate in, so I can indicate early.
Hi, Carrie-Anne, it's Jennifer. Thanks. Yep, we can certainly do that. I'll just add that to the action item.
Thanks, Jess.
Okay. Jennifer, you want to go through the action items?
And reference to the meetings, I'm sorry, I'm a little late off the mute button. I have just a couple more sort of action item things to raise before Jennifer reads through the list.
Oh, all right, go ahead.
Yep, just to tee this up and again encourage SSR team members to be active on email over the next week. The chairs anticipate posting draft slides to be used in Barcelona. I think we'll be posting a draft for any input review team members might have. We'll also be posting a draft Barcelona face-to-face meeting agenda for any input that review team members have as well. And then according to our general outreach plan, we also will be posting sort of a blog or sharing an update with the community. And again, I think we'll be posting a draft of that as well on the email list. Thanks.
Okay, I see hands from Lauren. Lauren, if you're talking, we can't hear you. Ah, already typed it up. Okay. So, yes, he's saying let's make sure that the Google Doc already has the information from the ones we've talked about on calls. Okay, Jennifer.
Thanks, Russ. I'll read through the action items in just a second. I just wanted to flag for the review team that the Google Doc has been uploaded. However, some review team members at the moment will have problems accessing it because you need to have a Google account to do so. So we'll be following up individually off-list with review team members to help resolve that issue as quickly as possible. I will now go through the action items. So recommendation 10, Denise is going to send follow-up questions and suggestions regarding further work for the consideration of the review team via email to the list on recommendation 10. Staff to provide details regarding which SSR2 sessions in Barcelona will have remote participation on list. Team to progress work on list between now and Barcelona with the aim of team members sharing initial strawman proposals on all SSR1 recommendations between now and Barcelona. The leadership will post draft slides and meeting agenda for Barcelona to the list for review team input. And similarly, the leadership will post a draft or proposed blog to the list for review team input. I hope I captured everything. I see Lauren's hand. I'm not sure if it's old or not, but comments or edits are welcome. Thanks.
Lauren, is that an old hand? Well, since I don't see him typing or hear him speaking, I'm going to assume it's an old hand. All right. Thank you all. And we'll see you in Barcelona.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.